Now grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God our Father, and the Holy Spirit who draws us together and gives us faith. The text I would like to use for this morning is from the second lesson. And I'm just going to focus on the last part. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. It talks about a race. And it's interesting that we're in the Olympics now, of course, and this week is track and field and a lot of races going on. The word that is the Greek word for that is agona. And it means race or struggle, from which we get the word agony. I thought that was interesting, but just helpful from the standpoint of what a race is. Sometimes there is agony and struggle involved in running that race or swimming that race or whatever the competition might be. But here we're talking about the struggle of faith, the struggle of believing and holding on in the midst of the race, the long battle, the long race, the long struggle of life that we're involved in. Have you ever given up on God? In the race or the struggle of life, there are things that happen to us or to our loved ones, and we find it sometimes it's difficult to just keep in the race, to keep struggling in faith. This community of people to whom this book of Hebrews is written are a people who have gotten tired in the faith. They're tired of serving others. They're tired of trying to keep praying. They're tired of worship, maybe also tired of Jesus and his promises of love and care. They're going through experiences in life that just make it hard for them to continue in the race, to believe in Christ. And when followers of Christ lose heart and give up the struggle of faith, it seems like it may be hard to keep on believing. I know I have been there any number of times, and maybe you have also. And I think I'm going through a difficult time even right now, in light of all that has gone on for this congregation and for us in relation to the Rook family. We can, like the community of faith to whom Hebrews is written, just get sick and tired in our own faith. As a result, we wonder, is there hope for us and for those we love? We wonder about prayer and why we keep praying when often prayer doesn't seem to change anything. It seems like fate instead of faith has greater impact and importance for us and influence on us. If we are the children of God, then why doesn't God pay more attention to us and protect us from harm? Mark and Jan Rook, in an instant, lost two grandchildren. Their son, David, was severely injured. Their one remaining granddaughter, Maddie, has so many injuries and struggles. We're thankful for the healing she's received, but she needs a lot of prayer as she goes on. Jenny, their daughter-in-law, David's wife, mother of these three daughters, is deeply grieving for all of them. And she needs to be strong in order to be there for the family that remains. We wonder where God was. They prayed, as we all do, for protection as we travel, to arrive home safely. Why didn't God step in and prevent this tragedy from happening? We have questions about our own lives and the lives of those whom we love. Why do we pray for healing and safe travel if God doesn't seem to intervene and keep our loved ones alive? Why do these things happen to people we love and care about? Could it be that we are here struggling on our own, struggling to survive by ourselves? Maybe it really is fate rather than faith that makes the difference. Turning away from God and avoiding the struggle of faith seems natural and easier in light of all of our losses. But also, turning away from God, we are standing alone, and death holds the last word for us. So in our world where there have been more questions than answers, God never gives up on us, keeps on holding on to us, cherishing us as his children. Through baptism, we have an everlasting relationship with God that does not end. And God never turns away from us, even in the face of all of the questioning and all of the struggling that we go through to believe. Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. As we see him struggling and anguishing in the garden in prayer, "If it is your will, take this cup of suffering from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done," Jesus prays. But he died for you and me. God did not remove him from the suffering or take him off the cross. Jesus did all of this, as the text says, for the joy, for the sake of the joy that was set before him. And what is that joy? Could it be that the joy is his love for you and me? And for little Abby and Maya, who lost their lives in the accident. Life happens and brings us much joy, but also tragedy at times. Terrible crashes happen. Diseases and illnesses take their toll on us. Terrorists, war, thoughtless and reckless people and situations bring about horrendous problems for us. Even our own thoughtlessness causes us issues and problems. We may lose our health, a job, friends, and family. Death is no stranger to us. And loved ones scream and cry to God and others as a result of these losses. We can understand this. We may have been the ones who were screaming at God at times. But God is not the one causing the accidents or diseases or the war or the fear. God is there in these painful moments of loss to bring hope out of hopelessness and life where now there's only despair and loss. God is sending wonderful people to help in times of desperate need. There were people there to take David and Maddie from that accident to a hospital where they could get the help they needed. God is there weeping with us over the loss of our loved ones, the death of little children and adults, the pain and seemingly endless suffering that some of our loved ones go through. And God is there to receive our loved ones, wrapping his loving arms around his children whom God loves and cares for. Now we're going to gather at the Lord's table with the cloud of witnesses, with those who are here and those who have gone before us. Christ is in the center and gives us life, and it's a foretaste of heaven as we gather at the Lord's table. These witnesses are our cheerleaders, encouraging us all along the way to keep on holding on in faith to the one who's holding on to us in all times of our lives. Many times they are the people God sends to help us, to be there with us just to listen. Many times we are those that cloud of witnesses who comes to someone else to be there to help in their time of need. They are the ones encouraging us to keep on struggling in faith, to keep on praying, because prayer is not reminding God who we are or about our needs. God already knows those. But prayer is the conversation in our ongoing relationship with God. No matter what happens, prayer is drawing us close to God in faith and trust. So now we also have the joy of sharing the Father's love and as the Father's children, trusting in our Daddy to hold us close in his loving arms, no matter what may happen, as we keep on running the race set before us, and still struggling at times to understand and to believe. In Jesus' name, amen.